Wow, Vance is so excited right now. Fresh off the plane from Mexico.
Ow!
That was actually his butt. That was his butt that whole time. That was really impressive.
Dude, I got such a tan that immediately I started beatboxing.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to the best of us. Well, welcome to the Fraudcast, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. This is, of course, your Apis Ben. Fresh, literally fresh off a plane from Mexico. Vincent.
Hey, man. What you want, man? Hey, man, I got some stuff in the back for you to buy, man.
What you want, man?
Hey, Mira, come here, man. I got some shit for you, man.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've gotten my rudimentary Spanish has gotten quite the workout this week. But oh. I got quite a few Mexico stories to tell you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But you get to do, you know. Continue with the intro.
Well,
I don't want to interrupt.
There's one more human in our midst, and that's Brett.
Oh, it's not Brendan.
No, it's not Brendan. Brendan is missing. Vince said he has to be here, otherwise we're all fired, and so Brendan couldn't be here.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think it was exactly like that.
I gave it up to you guys. I know the listeners probably like Brendan more than me.
There's a couple emails that said they all like Brendan as much as he thinks they like him.
No, they like Brendan the best, but not as much as Brendan likes Brendan.
Well, there's one that said they like him as much as they think he likes him.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Speaking of, we did get some good emails, so thanks, everybody. I did want to read one that was specifically related to Vince. And it said, it's titled Poor Vince, and I think it's from Mike. Mike. It says, Dear Fraudcastateers, well, I love the Fraudcast. In the last few weeks, there has been nothing I've hated more than Vince. I love the crap out of you, Vince, but it sounds like you've become a hateful, self-absorbed fella that gets downright angry about anything you don't like. It started off with your straight-up annoyance with the radio silence and the background work in general. Seriously, just because someone F's up and there are 2 seconds of silence doesn't mean all the listeners are going to bail and go listen to Bill O'Reilly.
Okay, I'll concede that point. But also, you guys aren't in the room when there's other guys texting while the rest of us are talking.
You're our source. Don't be a dick about malfunctions. We expect dickishness and hilarity, not studio perfection. The other thing I disliked was how you went all crazy on Linkin Park and music. We all got here based on comedy and movies. Don't get on a high horse on music. Full disclosure, Vince rides around on a high horse at all times. So he's always on one.
I got it in grad school.
Yeah, they gift it to you at the end.
All I have to do is brush him sometimes.
Oh, Chatsworth.
That's a good horse name.
I know.
Chatsworth Ponytail.
Yes, the lead singer horse-drawn sailboat.
You know what? Linkin Park isn't that horrible. I'm not a huge fan. Nine Inch Nails for me.
But I also like Nine Inch Nails. I don't know how you got to Linkin Park not being that bad from Nine Inch Nails.
Well, you're just saying.
Look, if thinking Linkin Park is terrible is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Okay, well. But still, relax, dude. You've been too dickish and hateful lately. B Cubed. I like that, by the way.
Yeah,
B-cubed
I like that, too.
Have been pretty goddamn awesome, and so have the guests. But Vince, dude. I just miss you being drunk and fun.
Well, I'm getting drunk, and I just came back from vacation, so I'll try to do better this time.
Anywho, props to all, especially Brendan. We all love you as much as you think we do.
Nice.
Sincerely, Mike. So thanks, Mike.
There's something. I'm not a Linkin Park fan by any. Well, I don't know. It's like a Jack in the Box taco. You know, they fry the whole thing with all the meat and the cheese in there, and they just sprinkle lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
That's Linkin Park. The Jack in the Box taco, or a single serving Kraft cheese slice.
I think it's more like a McDonald's cheeseburger, where there really isn't too many redeeming qualities.
Oh, I kind of like the McDonald's cheeseburger too.
Whatever. All I know is if there's a dude screaming in your band and like someone else scratching on a turntable, I'm probably gonna hate you. Like 95% chance.
Okay. Well, you know, to each their own, buddy.
That makes it okay. I don't feel that people should take offense to me hating a band that has some dude DJ scratching while a white guy screams.
I don't take offense. I like them a lot, but I don't care if people don't like them.
Okay. Moving on. Fuck it. I don't care.
Movie on.
Yeah. Movie on. So, speaking of tacos, man, I had some good tacos this week.
Well, Mexico, their food's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
And I like that you can just walk down the street and for $1 or $2 or whatever, they make the fresh tacos for you,
mm-hmm.
the fried fish right there.
Yeah.
They have unlimited amount. I like that all the condiments. They have all the condiments. They got the radishes. They got guacamole. They got onions. They got cilantro. They got salsa. As much salsa as you can take.
So much salsa.
So they basically just give you some meat and a tortilla, and they let you do the rest.
Well, I had – all right. So I don't know if you know about the Tacos Dorados, but
no.
I've always tried to figure out what's the best kind of tacos. And, you know, I always felt a little bit of an issue because my favorite tacos are the kind in San Diego where you get them and the tortilla, it's not quite fried, but it's like it's kind of fried.
Yeah.
It's like crunchy.
You got the little air bubbles all hardened up.
Exactly,
in them.
Yeah. Exactly. And you know, usually you go to Tijuana and they just, you know, you get the flat, the homemade tortillas, which are also great, but they just sit flat, you know, and you got the little bit of stuff on.
They do the two little core, and they do a quick burn on each side.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so the Tacos Dorados, she rolls out the fresh tortillas, then she puts them on the grill, and then she brushes it with this like red oil while it's sitting there, and then flips it over, and then brushes the other side.
Baby tears.
And then puts the stuff in. So it's like, it's kind of like a partially fried.
Almost like a quesadilla taco.
Yeah, but it's corn, and it's like, so it's a, you know, it comes out.
So they're not doing anything. It's still just the cornmeal and water.
Yes.
And then they throw it on, and then they brush it on oil.
Yeah. And it's so good. The birria de res.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
Were you able to hide the tip of your boner, or did you, like, tuck it under?
No, I was just waving it around.
Hey, everyone, look at this. I'm from America.
They're hiding their kids. Oh, my God.
It's okay, I'm from America. We can do that down here. There ain't no rules.
Es el diablo. Ayo, tiene boner from tacos. Everybody's running.
Where aren't you going? I want some tacos.
He dropped my taco with his boner. What do I do?
That not taco, that boner.
Yeah. I did the I went down for Matt Ufford's wedding. It was a fucking awesome wedding. We took a boat from Puerto Vallarta out to forget the place, but it's like a half hour boat trip. There was booze on the boat, so that was good. And then we got there, and there was a taco bar at the wedding. Can't complain about that.
No,
right on the beach. And then pretty much like, and then I spent a week there, and we did like the full South Park. I got to see a timeshare presentation.
Oh, those are epically awesome, aren't they?
What did you get in return?
Here's the thing. We stayed in Amy's parents' timeshare. So she claims...
They just come with your keys?
Well, she claims that we would have had to sit through the presentation anyway. And I'm like, I thought the whole point of owning a timeshare is you never had to sit through what... You just say yes, so they'll shut up.
You've won here.
Yeah.
You are the best.
Please stop asking me. Yeah.
You are the conqueror. I will take whatever it is that you have.
But she claims that we would have had to sit through a presentation anyway, so we might as well
that defeats the purpose of ever signing up for a timeshare.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So she said we should just get a free massage if we're going to have to sit through it anyway. And I was like, oh, all right. And it's pretty awful. I mean, they get you there.
It's as bad as first world life gets.
Yeah. Well, I know all their tricks at this point. And so you get you
Do you
there.
Like to go on vacation?
Do you
hate worrying about where you're going to stay?
They take you. They give you a free breakfast. And then there's a guy there. And the first guy, he's kind of nice. He's
the
like,
fluffer. That's the
like,
fluffer.
He's like, you guys don't go on vacation much? No, we don't. We don't have the money. We don't do that. We're not into it. Oh, well, I guess I can't tell you guys anything. You guys are making my job hard. Anyway, I'm just going to take you over to my partner Bob over here.
He's the bad cop.
I'm going to give you to my partner Bob over here. He's going to ask you a few questions, then we'll get you right out of here. It's like, okay. And then Bob's from Minnesota. He's like, the first guy is like this big chubby Mexican guy from San Francisco. He was giving us the soft sell. Then they give us to Bob. And Bob, it's like, and they always ask you way more personal questions than like anyone would ever ask you in any situation.
Your vagina a little dry today? You got a little dry vagina in there?
Yeah.
You know what we can do to help that? We can put you in a nice humid climate, full of pools for your
you
dry vagina.
You look like the type of guy that may or may not have an anal fissure. You have an anal fissure. You
so know what, it's you guys, a, what do you guys do for a living? Oh, really? Oh, and what's that like? Well, how do you make your money? Blah, 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 blah.
How much you make a year, pussy?
How much you make a year?
They actually do want to know that because They usually like to know that even before the presentation.
Oh, yeah. That was the first guy. But the thing is, they all ask you the same questions over and over again. And they do the same fucking banter. So they'll be like, oh, so you guys married? No? Just practicing, huh? He's like, yeah, good one. Good one. Heard that one from your last guy there.
At one point, did they separate you to make sure your stories lined up? When they're just like, you're going to go in that room. Oh, it turns out your girlfriend already bought a timeshare. Do you just want to get in early? Because if she gets it, it's going to be way more fucking expensive.
The good old-fashioned prisoner's dilemma.
I like how they also tell you, like, they'll brag. They'll be small-talking, and they'll brag about how, you know, they hooked some dude's wife on it, and then they're like, come on, man, look at your wife. Like, you see how badly she wants it? Like,
is her pussy all wet?
Yeah. So they'll brag to you about that that's what they're trying to do, and then they blatantly do it in front of you like you're going to
fall for it. So anyway, you sign right here. Give us your credit card. Oh, no pressure. Yeah. Oh, you didn't. I thought you sounded like you wanted in. You don't want in. It's okay.
So second guy, Bob, he starts naming off numbers. And first of all, I'm like trying not to make eye contact with this guy because they're like so direction oriented.
Well, especially at the dude. Like the dude, they'll be both you and the girl. Uh-huh. But it'll be a lot of, it's not passive.
They're staring you down and I'm just tagging along for the ride. I don't want to be there at all. And you're
dreaming of tacos the whole time.
They start naming numbers and they're like, all right, so this is what $30,000 gets you. You get 1,200 points, right? And it's like, and it's so complicated because I have no idea what this means. So we buy this thing, and then they give you points, and you can use these points on the timeshare. And then there's like there's some sort of cleaning fee on top of that.
And then you can
sell it to this person. And it's like, so basically, the guy's describing. He's like, all right, so we're going to give you 300 quimbles for $30,000, and with these quimbles, you can trade these quimbles for zorgs. And once your family members get zorgs, they're going to want zorgs, and you can take the zorgs and transform them for spleagles. And once you get some spleagles,
let me tell you,
you don't want spleagles, but let me tell you where you can resell those. They get crazy prices on the black market.
I'm like, I just want to go on vacation. I don't want to learn a whole new language and like a number system. And I'm not a mathematician. The last thing.
Oh no, sir, we use no numbers. There's no numbers associated with this at all.
Okay, so then Bob leaves and he's like, all right, well, I guess. You know, you got. Hey, I don't work on commission. We work on salary. So you know, if you guys don't want, if you guys aren't into it, no sweat off me. And
we're gonna have to bring in the bear, though.
Yeah, I'm just gonna give you over to my associate Cheech over here, and you know, Cheech is Bob was from Minnesota. First guy was chubby Mexican guy, super laid back. Bob was from Minnesota. He
Cheech,
was a little,
shockingly Japanese.
Cheech, no, it wasn't named Cheech. It was named like Jeff. And Jeff was from New York. And so Jeff is kind of an asshole because people from New York tend to be assholes. And
so they raise him out there.
Yeah, super direct, super like. And Jeff is doing the thing where it's like, you can tell him over and over that you don't want to spend the money on this. And then they do, you can tell what they're doing if you're at all smart, where they're doing the thing where it's like, well, I guess, you know, I guess it's not right for some of our like more indigent customers. You know, they try to like, they try to make it seem like you're some homeless person and that you're going to protest.
You know, not everyone likes going on vacation, yeah. And that's okay. Not everyone does.
Maybe you're a communist or some sort of a dirty bum. I mean, that sort of precludes the desire to go on vacation.
I've met those people before, yeah. And they don't have the means. Yeah, to go enjoy
or really the number of brain cells necessary to enjoy a vacation.
Vacations are for brilliant people. They're for geniuses. Yeah. Geniuses and just really the cream of our society.
It just might not be your time to shine.
And that's okay. Yeah. It's not for – vacations are not for everybody.
Look, out back we've got a couple of rocks. You can bang those together for 2 weeks. There you go. You're set. You don't need to spend
this
reasonable sum of money for what could be the best time of your life.
So then Jeff writes – he does this. He like he's making an offer in the boardroom. He writes down a number. The first guy was like $30,000. Again, I have no idea what this pays for. But the next guy is like, all right. He writes like 8,000 something or other and puts a box around it. And I'm like,
did he slide it towards you?
Yeah. Of course.
Wait, did you take it and then draw a penis and then slide it back? Counter proposal.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a second. So if I just had to resist the advances of Bob, I would get an offer that was one third the price that he gave me, less than one third.
Hey, not many people make it past Bob. Good for you. Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do for you. For making it past Bob, here's what I'm going to do. Now, I don't do this for everybody. I don't do this for, I just, I like you too. You seem nice. And you seem like, honestly,
you seem like a guy who could use quimbles. Maybe you don't need the quimbles, but you could use them.
This is the final stage of your journey. You have proven yourself worthy. Nice work. Made it past Bob, huh? Not many people do.
I've seen men twice your size crack under Bob's weight.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a number down. I'm going to write a number down, and you're going to be happy with that number. And then you're going to go on vacation so many times. You're going to come back thanking me. You're going to be telling me, wow, I should have paid twice. I should have paid Bob's price.
I should have got the Bob package. So then he's like, all right, well, we're done, I guess, after we made it past Jeff. I forgot something.
There's another layer.
I forgot something. First of all, Jeff.
You need to meet the Wizard of Oz.
Jeff is asking you all the same questions that Bob and Cheech have.
What do you guys do?
What do you guys do?
How's that pay?
How does that pay? And I'm like, at some point, you just want to be rude, just to stop him from asking really personal questions. Like, what do you do? What do you do on the weekends?
What's your favorite?
I have sex with your mother. It pays really well. Like, what do you want me to
what's
say?
What's your favorite Fleshlight model?
Yeah. And so then we finish with Jeff. And we go into the other room to get your gift. And in the next room
is a punch in the junk.
Is another guy with just like brochures.
Oh, hey guys.
With brochures everywhere.
Didn't see you there. Yeah. I'm your gift.
Like, do you
the gimp gets out of a trunk.
Do you like massages, or maybe you guys want to go snorkeling instead? Oh, what about this? What about that? What do you do? What do you do for a living? And at that point, I legitimately snapped. I'm just like, dude, are we gonna get out of here soon? What? And his face sort of fell. I'm like, sorry, man. I'm
time shirt out, bro.
I said I'm all talked out. that was my way to be polite. I was like, man, I'm
and
all
then
talked
you, and
out.
Then you bought a timeshare, right?
Yeah.
Two of them, actually.
Exactly.
Nice. Make them fight.
Oh, I forgot to mention that Jeff actually, they promise all this stuff up front. Like, oh, man, just a little bit of your time, you're going to get all this free stuff.
No more than 60 minutes.
It's going to be great. And then at the end, he's like asking you to sell out your friends and family. He's like, all right, well, if you guys are – look, this is all I'm going to ask for you. Just a few names and email addresses.
Write down the names, phone numbers, social security numbers, and favorite color and income.
Like, come on, man. We're giving you a fucking massage here. What do you think? We just give that to anyone for nothing? Fuck you, buddy. I got a quota. You're going to put your friends right here.
I'm sorry.
On this paper.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But you do have to write four names down before you leave.
Yeah. It's like good cop, bad cop just rolled into one dude.
Yeah, I was in Hawaii not too long ago. And they all up and down the – in Maui, all up and down the main drag, they have like snorkeling – $8. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, we'd love to do that. Oh, but you got to sign up for a timeshare. Yeah. And my girlfriend that I was with was like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, that's fucking terrible. I'm on vacation. I don't want to spend 3 hours. Yeah.
No. If someone offered me a week's salary to do that timeshare presentation again, I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah, because you don't realize how painful and terrible and soul-ripping that it is.
No, and the whole time I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. I could not imagine a more uncomfortable experience
than this. And then the next guy shows up.
No, and then I'm looking at the guy giving the timeshare presentation. I'm like, fuck, man. This guy does this all day.
Yeah, he does it 20 times a day.
How much are they paying you to do this? Like, I would have to earn $1 million a year. Like, if you told me... Dude, you can make $812,000 a year.
But everyone you come in contact with will hate you.
Yeah, and I'd be like, no, I can't do it. I'm not going
to
do it.
I mean, everyone will only put some sort of curse or hex on you. We've been able to get rid of a lot of those. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
You can live in paradise. You can go. You can fucking zip line every day.
Hey, have you ever won?
You can zip line to work and get a massage like as you hit the pool where you
Vince,
snorkel.
Vince, we can tell you love timeshares. Do you want to live in one full time?
Yeah. Oh, and that was the other thing. Like we're already staying in a timeshare, and like we got to Ufford's hotel that where all the wedding guests were staying at, and they picked an awesome like boutique hotel that doesn't allow children. So it was pretty much the best thing ever. Like it's all inclusive. We didn't even pay for all inclusive, but we're just like hanging out at the pool with people that have all inclusive, and you know, you're just getting
drinks. Residual all inclusive.
Yeah, we didn't have to pay for shit the entire time we were there. Just sat in the pool. There was like a swim up bar. It was great. And then we go to the timeshare, and it's just like, holy shit! I think there's someone at the
baby factory.
There's a guard at the gate. It was like, all right, do you have 10 babies? Okay, is anyone in your party attractive? No. All right, come on in. All right, hurry. Wait, hold on. Bonus points for Mexican kids with their t-shirts on in the pool. That's going
to
be.
Hello, sir. Better. What's your name there? You don't appear to have any kids with you. How about you go round up 12 Mexican kids, make sure they're wearing t-shirts.
Or you can just write down 4 names and email addresses. I don't know what I have to do to help you.
Help me help you,
sir. I just
want
you to have a good time on your next vacation.
And a timeshare, like, they're just nickel and diming you about everything. Because they're like, we're not making any money off this unless we charge them all these incidental fees where it's like, okay, it's 45 pesos a day just for, it's for gratuity. And like, oh, I thought I was already leaving gratuities on the counter.
No, sir, that's funny, sir.
That's just for the maid, but this is for the everybody. And then...
this is for the t-shirts for the Mexican
kids. You made local calls? Those are going to be about $1 each for local calls. I had no idea that local calls cost money. Okay, cool. We left. You didn't do your dishes before you left? That's going to be another $15. I'm like, you could have put a sign somewhere that told me.
Timeshares are another that's another dying industry.
It was funny because as we were leaving, the maid came in to clean up. Like, while we were still in there, I'm like, oh, yeah, come on in. Whatever, cool.
Hola.
And I see her using the phone, and I'm like... And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, she just has to call someone. And then like 10 minutes later when we go to check out, I realize that she's calling the office to tell them that we didn't clean our dishes.
No limpia.
Meanwhile, it's like we still have 2 hours before we're going to fly out. I had plenty of time to clean the dishes if I knew that was somehow required of me.
No, they don't tell you that.
Rub me the wrong way, man. Let me tell you.
The last timeshare.
Vacations. They just get you by the balls.
And now you own 2 timeshares. So you're stuck in a vicious cycle.
Yeah. Oh, but I did go ziplining.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
And?
Oh, it was great. I loved it.
We need more ziplines.
Yeah. Except, so you zipline down. Actually, there was 2 zipline tours, and Justin Halpern...
There's a thing. You're at the bottom.
No, Justin Halpern told me to go on the one at the Predator set, because apparently there's, like, Mexican dudes who are wearing Predator masks and shit with, like, really bad BO, who jump out, and they're like, "Get to the chopper! Hey, man! Get to the chopper, aye!" And
here comes another one.
Here comes another chopper. Oh, shit. Hey, puppy. Come here, man.
Dude, he's going so fast.
I am the predator. Watch out. I come from the jungle, man. Ah, here I come. I'm invisible.
You can't see me.
You can't see the predator, man, because I'm invisible.
I'm invisible. Don't look over here. I'm invisible. Don't look here. I'm eating burrito.
But that one left. We didn't get up early enough to catch the bus for that one. So we went on the other.
Oh, you missed the Mexican predators?
We went on the other zip line, which was had the longest zip line in Mexico, I'm told.
Was that Lion King?
Yeah. No, it was really awesome, actually.
It was a theater joke.
It wasn't like, you know,
that was a movie,
you know, South Park, where they go, like, each station, like, they just, people are just telling stories about their own. I could see how that would happen, but there was only like 6 of us, and you zip line to the bottom, you take like 6 or 7 zip lines, and you get to the bottom, and then you ride a donkey back up, we're with the Canadian mother and daughter, and apparently, like, the Canadian mom had not counted on the part where you ride donkeys back up, because she'd apparently gotten kicked by a horse when she was younger or something, and she fucking hated all horses and things with hooves. And so, like, the entire way back, there was just a constant stream of, like, oh my God, this seems cruel. I'm too heavy for my horse. He's gonna bite the other one. And it was just like constantly.
Woman, you can walk. You can walk.
No, she's like, I want to walk. I want to get off and walk. This is terrible.
But she didn't get off and walk at any point.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Then she bought a timeshare.
Yeah. She wasn't complaining. It was just like running commentary about not liking horses.
Okay. I mean, maybe not complaining, but it's annoying.
I respected her for that.
Well, she's Canadian. That's why.
Yeah. Burro.
All right. Well, I got to get Laramie on the phone before he dies.
Is he dying?
He's dying.
He's going to die. We're going to have to tell him that we...
How are we going to handle this situation?
Hold on. You guys, if you need some sex toys...
Oh, let's do a full live read.
If you guys need some sex toys, dildos,
condoms... Wait for Laramie.
Whoa, he's calling out of the cage.
Hello?
Hi, is Laramie available?
Oh, hold on 1 second. Laramie. Hello?
Hey, is this Laramie?
Hey!
Welcome. Hi. You're on the morning news.
Are you sure this isn't Sparamy? I hear Sparamy has a goatee and a Van Dyke beard.
And an R instead of an L.
How did you get this number? Yeah, I heard Brad on the frotting it up.
Yeah, he cheated on you. What's up?
Yeah, it was, you know, I knew it would happen at some point.
Yeah, you know. I'd
be lying if I wasn't a little sad, if I didn't say I was a little sad.
I think I was email friends with Brad before I was email friends with you.
So. Oh, boom. Wow. Suck on that.
I didn't, this is a little more intense than
wow.
I fucking went there.
Wow.
Now you're just trying to hurt me, Vince.
I'm sorry.
And, wow. That's got to sting a little bit.
So, Laramie, we got you on a little early just because, you know, I didn't want to make you wait all night. But you're going to have to sit through some housekeeping.
Shenanigans?
Some housekeeping. Like, for instance, if you guys, listeners.
Even Laramie.
You got a wife. You know you want to spice things up in the bedroom and a dog. you go to adamandeve.com. Great people. Adam, Eve, nicest people you could ever meet. You go to adamandeve.com, you use the promo code FRAUD. You can buy anything. You get 50% off.
That's a really good deal.
You know, you think you get 50% off.
Anything.
Just one item.
No.
But no.
Anything.
It's anything.
You can buy only one item. And you want to get that, like 4-foot black dildo that you've always been craving?
Gold-plated dental dam.
50% off.
Yeah, you get that. You use the promo code FRAUD.
And
3 free adult DVDs.
That's a really good deal.
But you got to use the promo code FRAUD. Otherwise, you're just pissing into the wind, my friend.
Well, you're paying full price and getting no DVDs.
Hey, Mar. Come here, Mar.
Is Brendan not there?
Hey, meet him, Mar. Do you want to buy a fucking dildo, Mar? I got a fucking dildo for you, Mar. Hey, look at your lady. She want it. She want it. You give it to her, Mar.
Laramie, he just got back from Mexico, so he thinks he's part Mexican now.
Oh, I see.
We are missing Brendan. So the deal was we wouldn't get fired from the Fraudcast if we waited for Vince to get back from Mexico.
That's right.
But Brendan couldn't make
it. He chose not to participate.
Brendan always does this thing where he's like, I can't do Thursday, but he doesn't say why. Because I think the answer is...
He's selling timeshares.
Yeah. I don't think he's got a real excuse is what I'm saying.
Oh. Well, you know, real or fake?
He's not here.
Yeah. Laramie, what is going on?
What if I want to buy like 12 items or even a baker's dozen at adamandeve.com.
50% off every single
item. You still
get
50% off.
Look, that can't be true.
You can take 50% off each one and then combine them at the end, and that'll work just as well if you want to do that.
And what is that promo code?
FRAUT.
FROT.
Seattle's beautiful this time of year. I wish you guys were here snuggling with me.
I dream of that every night.
I got a Nike fuel band the other day. I've been just tracking my fuel.
Ooh,
are
you running near empty at this point? You got to be because you burn through fuel pretty quick, right?
My fuel number right now is 23.55.
It is too low.
I've done a lot of sitting today.
What does it measure?
Fuel.
No one knows. Oh, no one knows.
It's just a magical number from
you want higher numbers.
Yep, you want a higher number.
You want higher numbers.
You'd think you'd get a lot more points for playing video games because that's a lot of movement. Not the case.
Is this like Weight Watchers for dudes, but they've rebranded it somehow?
Yes, precisely.
But by the way, that was another thing I forgot to mention about the timeshare is when Bob handed us off to Jeff, Jeff starts asking us questions and Amy's like, she's like, no, we really probably can't afford a timeshare. And he's like, wait, did they tell you this was a timeshare? Because this is an exclusive vacation club or something. It's like, oh, fuck. Now he's going to do this whole presentation over. He's got that excuse.
God damn it, Amy. You fucked up. You fucked up.
Wait. Did Bob tell you this was a timeshare? Because if so, Bob's fucking fired. This is not a timeshare.
Is that what he said?
This is an exclusive vacation country
premier.
Club co-op.
Premier.
Actually.
It's just a place where you share time.
Premiere. So Laramie, what?
Wait. We got a couple of voicemails before we start in with this asshole.
Wow.
This guy.
Fresh off the boat from Mexico.
Hey man, look at this fucking guy over here, man.
You let a guy visit his plantation. He comes back all sassy.
Oh, by the way, that's another thing. I wanted to show you guys.
You bought
my hat.
His plantation?
No, I wanted to show you guys my hat.
I saw that. That was a terrible hat.
It's a great hat.
Okay.
And it's a and. And the brand is Charlie Mexico, of the hat, and then inside the hat on like on the other label, it says Mr. Charlie.
That is good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, see, I told you my hypothesis was correct.
Don't think
that you can trap and enslave other humans.
No, that they call you Mister, and then your first name.
Oh, well, that has been proven many, many times.
Oh, come here, Mr. Brett. We got your time shell already for you, man.
Ooh.
Ben, did you see how good my L Heat gear was?
I did. Yeah, that was really good.
I wear it everywhere now.
Do you?
Oh, yes. And when people ask me to translate it, I tell them it means the heat.
That's good. That's good.
Nothing better than just putting L in front of something and changing nothing else.
Yeah.
This is Spanish and Mexican heritage, El Heat.
My favorite is Los Bulls, because it's like everyone knows Bulls is Toros, but they're like, you know what? Leave the Bulls. It's fine.
We can't change that. Let's just put Los in front and we'll be fine.
Nueva York is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
That's a winner.
All right, we got a couple voicemails.
Let's go. That was not a voicemail.
Sorry, that was a straight Mexico fart.
It's your own mic. You're just talking right into your butt stink.
I like it.
Hey, Frog Captains. My name is Russell. Longtime masturbator of your voices. First time caller.
Are we supposed to be hearing something right now?
C-Tate's Opus Magic Mic.
Or is he summoning another fart?
Damn it, Laramie. Ruining this. Yeah.
This is art. Okay, sorry.
Do you not have it plugged in?
No, I forgot to change back the Skype preferences. I'll fix it.
God. Now, Vince, don't freak out. It's going to be okay.
All right. Can you hear it now, Laramie? Just wait. Just wait. It'll be good. I promise.
It's going to be me, probably.
I promise, baby.
Do you leave us voices?
Hey, Frog Captains. My name is Russell. Longtime masturbator of voices. First time caller. Quick question following a screening of the...
Is Vince giving birth?
Do you not hear... Are you hearing this or not?
No.
Really?
Vince, you
suck. Why would I lie?
I don't know. He made fun of your morning show that one time.
I think it's sweet that he calls us up and leaves us voicemail after voicemail.
All right, it's very nice thing to do. Play the rest of this voicemail.
Okay, just tell me when it ends.
Okay.
Magic Mike. What was the more coveted movie prop after filming ended? Dallas's ripped song from his Ladies of Tampa dance, or the shirtless portrait of Dallas with what appears to be a
that makes a good point.
Snake wrapped around his arm. Just a quick thought. Carry on, my wayward sons, and as always, fuck David Chen, humorless soul.
He's asking whether the more coveted prop for Magic Mike was Dallas's thong or the giant painting of Dallas with the snake.
I think the painting was pretty dynamite.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the painting there. Also, not
what are you gonna do with a thong? The painting, you can just
cherish it.
Sniff it.
Just lick it.
Set up a little thong idol.
McConaughey.
All right.
Yeah, that poor... I didn't even think about that painting actually exists, but man, I would pay a lot of money for that painting.
Well, they used it in the movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they didn't burn it right after.
Can you imagine that guy that has to... if I was him, I would paint like 1,000 of those. He would make so much money.
Yeah, that's probably an industry that has not been utilized.
I would pay up to $77 for one of those paintings.
But not over. And that includes shipping and a frame.
You know, if you said $12.99 for shipping, after I'd already put my credit card information in, I'd probably
go ahead and purchase it.
I'd be like, oh, I'll just eat light on lunch just for the next few weeks.
I'm not getting guacamole.
Yeah. I would
burrito.
I would go to Popeyes.
No, gracias.
I would get the Popeyes, just the po' boy sandwich and not the sides.
I don't know if they even allow that anymore. I think you have to get it in the bucket.
They try to timeshare your ass on that. They totally timeshare your ass. One more voicemail. All
right, Lamry, we'll tell you when it's done.
Yay!
Hey, this is Jeremy, the guy who occasionally makes Photoshops and videos for the website. And basically, me and my friends who listened to it for a while, we had one complaint that you guys don't ever really talk about where the Meepers idea originated from. I know it's from the episode where Brett cut everything off at the end with Joaquin, but now it's like some weird inside joke with you guys, and all I know is some Meepers and some midgets being caught on fire and going, meep. Can you guys just tell us what the fuck Meepers.
I thought we explained Meepers at some point.
We must not have. So I think
explain to Laramie what the thing was.
So the question, Laramie, was what's Meepers? Where's Meepers come from? And I think this goes back to episode 100 where GarageBand took a dump on us.
But I thought the Meepers part got in there, but maybe it didn't. Anyway, Joe King had some movie pitches, and most of Joe King's movie pitches started with, all right, so there's a 45-year-old retarded man, a 45-year-old man with Down syndrome, and his name is Meepers.
Yeah, it was something like that where he was Meepers, and he was running around, and he was a midget with Down syndrome, and it was just like...
That sounds a little bit like that Chris Kattan character from SNL.
Yeah, it does.
Mr. Peepers. Yeah. So similar, but with Down syndrome and way smaller.
Distinct, I would argue.
And for the record, I don't know how to use GarageBand. Everything that happens that is bad on the broadcast is not always my fault.
No, it was. He meant me, even though most of it's your fault.
Granted, I'm willing to take credit for about 80% of the stuff that sucks.
The
here.
Failures.
Yeah.
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 Your shitty attitude makes electronics fail.
what was the pitch he had about Val Kilmer? Was it Kilmer
versus Kilmer?
Yeah,
that would work. That would work. Yeah,
yeah. Kilmer would be up for it.
Yeah, where he's in a gay relationship with himself and they adopt a little black boy.
And they go on adventures.
But even better would be if it was Kilmer versus Kilmer, but just starring Gary Busey.
Ooh. No, he had another pitch with Gary Busey. You can't
Well, Squirt Locker.
He's got a whole studio.
He does. Gary Busey could use a little bit of work, though.
Yeah, he can always use work.
Isn't he a dog now? Isn't he the ghost of a dog?
No, he is a dog.
Oh, he is the dog. He's not a ghost.
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. Laramie, they're still making movies, right?
Well, wait, we got a topic before we go to Larry.
Oh, we got a topic?
We were just fucking...
What have you been doing in Mexico? You come back with a whole set of...
No, we got to save the movie. This is the Film Drunk Frotcast. We got to save the movie talk for the very end.
Or we don't talk about
it. Are we just going to make fun of Linkin Park for a while? Just
Laramie, how do you feel about Linkin Park?
I think I'm on the record as feeling very sorry for Ben about Linkin Park.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to feel sorry for
me. Does that mean you like them?
He feels sorry for me because of my Jewish heritage.
No, I'm not a huge fan of Linkin Park. I like that one they did with Jay-Z.
Yeah. Numb/Encore? It's a good song.
Wait, numb like that? Like a hashtag?
I mean, that's just a good song.
No.
It's just N-U-M? Like num, num, num.
No. That's N-O-M. That's N-O-M, Brett.
It's numb. It's different, but it's close.
It's song about popsicles. Num, num, num.
What's
my skin?
What do we have on the agenda, Brett? Vince.
I'm Vince.
What? Hello.
I feel like we're Wait, we're duty bound to discuss the Tosh thing since a bunch of people emailed me about it.
Are we gonna do that?
Duty. Oh, speaking of Vince, that email you sent me about the death at Comic-Con. How are you expecting us to cover that? I just want to hear from the boss.
Just be honest about it.
Are you at Comic-Con?
It's not a rocket science.
Larry, are you at Comic-Con?
No. But we were, I was writing up a thing a day for Vince while Vince was off gallivanting, as he does.
Yeah.
And, me and Bernsey, we saw that Twilight news hit the wires about the person getting hit by a car, and we're like, man, there's really no way for Film Drunk to cover this. Like, if we cover it straight, people are just going to totally rip in the comments. And if we cover it hilariously, we're probably going to get murdered.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point about the comments.
Vince came back and said, what the fuck have you guys been doing?
Well, Vince emailed us at 10 o'clock that night, hey, do you know about this story? And we're like, yeah, we know about it, but how would you want us to do it? And he wrote back, you could just play it straight. And I don't know if he was joking.
The way I feel is I don't think a story is gonna not be there if I don't cover it. And if I feel like it's newsworthy, I'm gonna cover it. I'm not gonna be like, hey, you know what's fucking dumb? This dumb bitch who got hit by a car. I'm just gonna be honest and not ridicule the person who's dying.
You missed a golden opportunity to be the editor, the surly coffee mug throwing editor, where they come and they're like, well, how are we supposed to write it? And you turn around in your big swivel chair and go, exactly, with your big fat greasy idiot fingers, the way everyone else on the internet writes it, you fuck.
Yeah, you should have newsroomed us. Yeah. I remember when we could cover car deaths.
With honor and dignity and moral fortitude.
I remember when Comic-Con was a long-lost place where we could have fun and watch people get hit by cars. That was what Comic-Con used to be.
Laramie would be like, how do you want us to cover this? Just to play it straight? And I just go, yeah, you think?
And then throw your phone.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. Yeah, you didn't know, idiot.
Did you receive a fax from Vince about how to cover it?
Yeah, from Mexico.
Well, like, but I mean, both Bernsey and I definitely kicked it around and just figured we thought we might have the site shut down or something on you. Like, we didn't realize.
Ooh,
like,
that would be so awesome if Vince came back to a shutdown site.
We were legit worried we were going to ruin your thing, you know?
How would you – wait, what would – who would shut down the site?
I don't know.
The
Fred
parents.
Drunk. Whoever Fred, James Fred drunk.
Charles Uprocks. Charles Uprocks the fourth.
It's like your landlord. Your landlord comes back and finds you subletting to a little Korean family.
I'm guessing you didn't read the comments, but one of the articles I did, I don't even know. Oh, it was on the Dark Knight score being released, right? So I did a review of each track on the Hans Zimmer thing. And the first comment
that sounds fascinating. I don't know what I was thinking not reading.
Hold on.
Hold on a second. You're not even giving page views to your own site when you're not there?
How were you editing your internet site access. If you don't read it?
I didn't have internet access until
you're not even giving page views from Mexico to your own site?
You are a terrible internet person.
You're a terrible fan of your own site.
All right, I'm terrible. Sorry,
so
go ahead.
The first comment out of the gate was, Vince has done a really good job of hiring people who will put him out of a job. Or something like that. And I was like, does he mean because I'm so good or because I'm so bad? Like, we couldn't figure out. It was like the ultimate comment because it was either like really, really nice
that
or
sounds,
really,
that
really
sounds
mean.
Good. That sounds like that you guys are going to get hired and I'm going to get fired.
Yeah, that doesn't mean the site's going to get shut down. It means you're going to write Vince off the site.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. See, I thought he'd come back and there'd just be rubble. He'd look all around. He wouldn't know that.
Just be.
What?
Give it time.
What happened to my beautiful, precious site?
The empire is crumbling.
There's nothing left here.
I picture him getting all invisible as if he'd been, you know, he'd
fucked to the future.
Yeah, like he had fucked his own grandma or something. And you guys are just quietly, comment by comment, writing him out of existence.
I spend 1 week on a plantation and I come back for trouble.
I can't leave this site for 1 week to go tend to my plantation.
To go fuck my grandma.
Mr. Vince is very disappointed.
Mr. Beans.
I'm so used to talking to myself in the third person after this week. Yeah.
Well,
you want to get into the Tosh thing?
I do.
All right.
It's such a fucking briar patch, though. There's no winners here.
All right. So
we have to lay it out because I actually don't even know.
All right. So this is the blog post that started it all. This is like some person on Tumblr.
They don't even have they only have the default header. Like it's the welcome to Tumblr header.
Yeah, basically. They don't even have a real layout. I don't know. It looks like they customized the colors though.
Guys, if you're gonna do Tumblr, come correct. Huh?
Yeah. This seems long. So the title is "So a girl walks into a comedy club," and then it's like, "This is something that happened to a friend of mine," in her own words. And then this entire next part is block quoted. So, on like as if she's quoting
your
friend.
You're not going to just skip to the end.
She's quoting your friend.
A lot of words, and they're not.
But you have to get. I'll read the first paragraph just to give you an idea of the person.
So, wait, quick question: am I already supposed to be bored?
Thanks. So on Friday night, my friend and I were at her house and wanted to get out and do something for the evening. We brainstormed ideas, and she thought up the idea of seeing a show at the Laugh Factory. I'd never been. I thought it sounded fun, so we went. We saw that Dane Cook, along with some other names we didn't recognize, were playing, and while we both agree that Cook's style is not really our taste, we were open-minded about what the others had to offer.
I hate this person already.
I am not a fan of comedy, nor do I particularly enjoy the comedian I was about to see.
Well, we figured,
fuck it, it'll be fun because we're such free spirits.
I was going to go another level. We don't really like laughing. It's not something that we particularly enjoy. And I definitely don't like comedy. But once we brainstormed, we were out of ideas. We'd seen Twilight several times. And that was
why is this guy standing on stage talking all the time?
What is shut up?
And we figured even good old Dane can be funny sometimes, even if it's not really our thing. Anywho, his act was actually fine. But then when his was done, some other guy I didn't recognize took the stage. Of course, I would find out later that this was Daniel Tosh. But at the time, I thought it was just some Yahoo who somehow got a gig going on after Cook.
I love that they let the starters go after now. Yeah, it's like, hey, our opening band's after the band you came here to see.
Oh, so. I guess. Who's this Led Zeppelin? I guess they just got a gig aftering for Molly Hatchet. I don't know what's going on.
Don't you make fun of Molly Hatchet.
I honestly thought he was an amateur because he didn't seem that comfortable on stage and seemed to have a really awkward presence. So then Tosh starts making some very generalizing declarative statements about rape, jokes always being funny, and how
And then some black guy came on. I guess he had a show called Cosby Show. It was really weird.
How can a rape not be funny? Rape is hilarious, etc. I don't know why he was so repetitive about it, but I felt provoked because I, for one, don't find them funny and never have.
Every time I get raped, I'm never laughing.
So I didn't appreciate Daniel Tosh or anyone telling me I should find them funny. So I yelled out, actually, rape jokes are never funny. I did it because even though being disruptive is against my nature, I felt that sitting there and saying nothing or leaving quietly would have been against my values as a person and as a woman. I don't sit there while someone tells me how I should feel about something as profound and damaging as rape. After I called out to him, Tosh paused for a moment. Then he says, wouldn't it be funny if that girl got raped by like five guys right now? Like right now? What if a bunch of guys just raped her? And I, completely stunned and finding it hard to process what was happening, but knowing I needed to get out of there, immediately nudged my friend, who was also completely stunned, and we hightailed it out of there. It was humiliating, of course, especially as the audience guffawed in response to Tosh, their eyes following us as we made our way out of there. I didn't hear the rest of what he said about me. Anyway.
And weirdly, I think it got really complimentary after she left.
Yeah, he was really nice. So anyway, like a bunch of people have written a billion editorials being like, oh my God, like the Daily Beast has a big article being like, why Daniel Tosh isn't funny and
so,
blah, blah, blah.
I mean, you know, clearly rape is a touchy subject.
Wait.
Well, so it sounds like those girls are not very fun.
Well, first of all.
Jesus.
Come on, Ben.
God damn it, Ben. It sounds like they're not very fun at all.
God damn it, Ben.
Well, that's true.
These rape-hating prudes. No, but what I was
getting
at... They
don't know how to party.
Serious.
Fuck, Ben.
We had a brainstorming session. We decided to see something I've never seen. A comedy show. I remember laughing once when I was 12, but I didn't like it. And I remember this Dane Cook. I saw him in a romantic comedy, and I almost laughed for the first time.
So my thing was...
Why did I ruin
everybody,
that?
Everybody has written an editorial based on assuming that... How this secondhand description of Tosh's show is somehow completely accurate to what he actually said.
So I said the opposite. I said this chick sounds like this.
All right. So comedy club owner Jamie Masada, who was present for show, told BuzzFeed that the woman's description of the incident isn't accurate. Tosh came on stage and asked the audience what they wanted to talk about, Masada told the site. An audience member yelled out rape, and a woman in the audience screamed, no, rape is painful. Don't talk about it. Masada said Tosh replied, well, it sounds like she's been raped by five guys, something like that, before adding that he didn't hear the exchange properly. I don't know. That sounds like...
Why is me saying they sound like they suck ruin everything?
Because I didn't want you to... Well, it's true that they do sound like they suck.
It sounds like they don't like to have fun.
Jesus. But not because...
No, you take all the rape stuff out, and they still don't like to have fun. I don't understand why that's so weird. We brainstormed. It took us over 4 hours. And while we were brainstorming, we decided, you know what? I've heard people like to laugh. I particularly don't like it. I tried it once.
When you guys edit this, put Ben says, and then...
Yeah. Jesus.
I don't understand why
you. All right, so maybe you haven't been on the internet in the last week, but people are getting straight up fucking lynched for this shit for lesser comments than that.
Well, then
people roll out and they're like, I don't know, I don't see what the big deal is. Hecklers seem like they're assholes in general, and they're like, I don't see why you hate women. And then suddenly this weird mob comes out of nowhere. And
I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is that like. You told me you saw a comedy show, and then you tried to describe a bit that someone else did to me, and like everyone's writing editorials based on my account of your account of someone else's bit.
Well, it's become like, so abstract so quickly,
but it's the easiest column in the world to write. There's things you shouldn't joke about, and this is one of them. And then you're done. You put the end, and you wait for the comment saying totally right
or totally wrong.
My sister was sexually abused, and you're set. Like done.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting. I clearly was not there. I do like to laugh, fortunately.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that.
Well, that's the point. You weren't there, and you're willing to accept that there's certain things that you don't know about what was said, and therefore not expound upon it like you fucking know exactly what happened.
Well,
but
I'm writing a post for Film Drunk tomorrow. So
that's not the way news works nowadays. It's like, oh, if you hear a quote, you don't think about the context of the quote, well, or like maybe that this person didn't describe what. Maybe this person that had never heard comedy before and thought that the person got a job going on after Dane Cook. Maybe this person didn't transcribe the things that was said exactly how it happened.
I mean, all I keep picturing is two chicks being like, I've never laughed and I actually hate it. But like,
Jesus.
I wouldn't mind laughing once in a while. Like, I feel like I hear like,
wait, can I?
She was probably on her cell phone, like texting, like sort of half paying attention. She heard something about rape, and then she like said something, and then Daniel Tosh like made a joke back, and she heard that joke as, I hope you get raped by five guys, and so that's what she wrote the column about.
Can I offer a standpoint that doesn't involve further hypotheticals, right? Because it's sort well, maybe
please.
This went down. It doesn't matter that you were offended, right? There's no the beeline question is, so what are you going to do about it, right?
Yeah.
And it's essentially like, do you want this sort of thing to never happen? Is there some sort of enforcement policy you would like to see in place that would prevent people from offending you? He has been in the social sphere, scolded to the point where he will probably not do this again, or at least think twice about it, right? I mean, he's gotten the backlash enough to make him feel like this is an unacceptable sort of behavior. So he's gotten the social backlash, right? He's been righted on the pack course, right? They've done the neck bite to Daniel Tosh, right?
Okay.
But at the same time, I mean, what's the end game here? I mean, you can't honestly hope to never be offended. Especially going to a comedy show, right?
Well, the end game is like, let's get this person fired. Where to
but
me,
that's so petty. And
to me,
unique.
Trying to get a person fired is much worse than a person saying something that they like. To me, words that don't get anyone fired or hurt except emotionally are far less damaging than actually trying to get someone fired. That's...
But you can't account for people's lines of offense.
Exactly.
Nor should you ever try to.
And I guarantee you that the way that was described, his joke, I guarantee that that's not.
But even if that was an exact transcription, you were offended. You made your offense clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you were offended.
You've registered.
And you've done so at the expense of the people in the comedy show, which is sort of an odd place to do that, but fine. I mean, it's not exactly a closed forum, right? It's not a movie screen. There is back and forth. So you're clear. The internet has chimed in. They've furthered your opinion. You're done, right? That's I would be okay with it at that point. It's these secondary leeches that sort of, on both sides, right? I'm not a fan of Tosh. I think he is a lazy comedian. But there are these sort of these people that traffic in offense and offendedness that are poisoning the discourse on pretty much everything.
Well, that's my point. It's like these people who have made like they're just taking this. They don't care about the quote. All they see in the quote is like, oh, this is fuel.
This is an opportunity.
This is an opportunity to write a righteous column where it's like. The real truth is, you know, some rape jokes are funny, some aren't funny. Of course, that doesn't make a good column. So whenever you write a column, you have to make a blanket statement about shit. Statements are never true. That's why they're blanket statements.
How quickly can they turn this into a – how quickly can I draw a line in the sand and then rally all the people that happen to fall on my side on this particular argument to my cause?
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the more interesting questions – and Vince, I'm sure – you're almost an expert in this. What is not funny and what's funny? I mean, what are you allowed to joke about and what are you not allowed to joke about? Like, do you have things that you say, you know what, I'm just never going to joke about this, or is it all fair game?
Well, people, that's the thing. People want to say like, oh, is there a topic that you won't joke about? No, it's just there's certain things are funny and certain things aren't funny. And it's like the Supreme Court ruling about pornography. There is no categorization that you can say like this categorically is or isn't funny. Certain things are funny depending on how you word them, depending on the situation. I feel like to me, laughter is the ultimate barometer for what you should and shouldn't joke about. Like, if it's fucking too mean to the point where you're not laughing, there's obviously something in that inherently that's not that okay. Yeah, if it's not funny, then you shouldn't joke about it. And if it is funny, it's okay. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those – I mean – and Lindy wrote a column about it where she mentioned Louis C.K. and how his joke about rape is funny because it's not about rape. You know, it's about something else where I think the joke is, you know, you should never rape someone. It's terrible. It's wrong. Unless, of course, you want to sleep with them and they won't let you. I mean, it's a deconstructed joke, obviously. But he sells it and it is funny.
She's just reverse engineering it, though. Like,
right, exactly.
She's just explaining it, and explaining jokes always makes me want to kill myself, to be honest. Like, yeah. Like it, well, I mean, the whole point of a joke is, I mean, the less that it can be explained, the funnier it is, because like that's kind of the whole point of joking. It's like music. It's like the minute you turn it into pure mathematics, it starts being less funny.
I disagree. I mean. I enjoy refinement, right? Where you boil it down to crack cocaine.
Yeah, but you're always searching. Like, I mean, you're always searching for with that which is much harder to refine.
Yeah, that's why I have nowhere left to go but full absurdism, right?
Yeah,
right. Or ultra slapstick, where
that's because you're a smart person and like absurdity is harder for you to break down in your mind.
Yeah.
It's harder for you to break down the formula. Like the harder the formula is for you to isolate, the funnier it's going to be.
You want to have to work for a bit of recognition and then have that recognition pay off. That's essentially what humor is. Like, oh, I get. Oh, they tricked me, but now I understand. I recognize where this came from.
So, I mean, where I come down is I think you should be allowed to joke about anything, as long as you're funny. I mean, I guess there are things I would get offended by, but I would just, you know, suck it up if the person was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like you're offended by things because you're like, well, that's not fucking funny. Like, they didn't word that in a way that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not my sensibility necessarily.
But I also don't think like when somebody's trying to be offensive and they say something that offends you, like I don't think that person, like if the fact that you're trying to be offensive in the first place, it's clear you're not meaning the things.
I don't think they get a pass. They're playing the same game as the offended people are, where they're trafficking in outrage, and that is not the same thing as being
first
funny.
First of all, as Joe King texted me immediately after this happened, he's like, I think the most offensive thing is the idea that someone who was raped could never laugh at a rape joke. And I think that's true. Just because something's happened to you doesn't mean you can never, ever laugh at that thing.
That would be a bummer, though. That's
no doubt. But it's like, just because like something exists in the world doesn't mean you immediately take someone's words as literal. Like when Joe is like talking about crushing finches on his chest, like obviously he's not doing that.
Yeah, obviously Tosh isn't raping
obviously
people.
I don't think that's funny in real life, but to imagine someone doing that is fucking funny. So
there's a machine in place that dehumanizes, right?
Okay.
No, I mean
it's in the sky, Vince. You've never seen it?
What does that mean? It's a robot machine.
You've never seen it?
Brett always like makes a grandiose statement. It's like, all right, so there's a giant monster that's eating your eyes and butt-fucking you with a needle.
Sit down.
Oh, okay.
So there's the machine that steals
like
all of your...
He starts with something completely metaphorical. And
there's the machine, right?
There's the machine that's... You don't start with a huge metaphor when you're like, all right, let me start small. Okay, there's an oil derrick in the sky that shoots pigeons.
It's clear we're sands in an hourglass of a robot that's constantly watching. I mean, that much is clear.
Right? We all get that. We're all in on that.
You want me to bring it back home? I start backwards.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I know.
It's because I can't work up any steam.
You start with the steam?
Yeah, I start with the steam, and then I build a railroad. In the sky.
With steam!
Out of rape. So Tosh is like at the bleeding edge of breaking down, watching something that isn't real and watching something that is real, right? On Tosh.0, people probably die at least once a show, right? And he sort of – like that's sort of the touch point for me. Like, I don't like to make fun of people that are actually killed, especially if you have to watch them being killed. I feel like that's the ultimate humiliation, where you – see a person die and that's the last thing you remember is this sort of like, oh man, he walked in front of a jet plane and now his family has to suffer.
Yeah.
Like that sort of makes me uncomfortable. Like that's the last frontier of offensiveness for me. Pretty much anything else is fair game. But he does that pretty much across the board, and he's not always very funny about it. He's funny about 20% of the time on TV. And there's a darkness to not having a good joke about the misery of others, right?
Yeah.
Where if you got a fucking snappy, kick-ass one-liner, it negates the darkness of it. But if you don't, you're not really the good guy anymore, right? Making people laugh isn't justification.
Agreed.
And he does that more than he doesn't do that.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean
I don't know
that doesn't that, mean you get to regulate that.
I don't know what that has to do with the actual thing that you said on stage.
I'm just saying
my
point is that he's no better off than Lindy is for taking offense at it. They're both sort of in this secondary market for things that isn't necessarily content, right? Your opinion isn't fucking content.
Okay, but here's the thing.
I mean, as we say this on an opinion podcast.
But here's the thing. I think you have to judge. You can't judge things that you say when you're saying things off the cuff into a microphone while you're trying to be funny. I don't think it's fair to judge that with the same scrutiny as you do something that's like someone wrote down. Like you don't get the opportunity to organize your thoughts when you're just speaking on stage or just speaking out loud. Like you're trying. Like sometimes you say shit. Like how many times in life do you say shit and you're like, oh fuck, I should have said that differently. Like that can just happen. Like
you know what? I actually that's a good point, and I think that
and so
that's
people
probably
will
the
take,
most
people will take a secondhand thing that he said and then write like a fucking 10-page rebuttal to it. And it's like, well, of course you can poke 100 holes in something that, first of all, he probably didn't even say, and second of all, like, you know, said fucking.
All right, I think that, that might actually be what we're after here, is that you're on film nonstop. The same thing I don't like about laughing at someone's video of them dying is the same thing about, I don't know, I like that it's come up in Sportage, but at the same time, people need to be way more forgiving about slip-ups and gaffes.
Yes, it's a lack of empathy.
Well, no, it's that you expect them to be on all the time. Well, and there are momentary humanistic lapses that are important because you're not a fucking PR machine.
Exactly.
And if we keep doing this stuff where we're watching you all the time for one fuck-up and that's the last thing you'll be remembered is that one time you stepped in front of a jet engine and then your family suffered, like – That's a nightmare scenario.
No, it's exactly the same thing. It's like people you're just waiting for that public figure to say something.
One fuck
like,
up.
You just
and
need that
never...
public figure to say. Like, you know, I've taken the side of people that I fucking hate when that happens too. Like even when Brett Ratner says something dumb, it's like, you know what? You're fucking allowed to say something dumb in the heat of the moment every now and then without having to fucking like. Lose your job
or
like,
suddenly go into alcohol counseling because I have to blame it on drugs now because I said something inappropriate and it hinted at some aspect of my personality that is in no way acceptable. It's like I'm not trying to justify the bubbling undercurrents of all your fucked up life that made you say this thing. You're probably a bad person, but so's everyone fucking else, you know?
Well, I mean, what mass communication has done is allowed sound nuggets to determine your entire portfolio, basically. Like,
and this is an overheard sound nugget. This isn't even a sound nugget.
This is hearsay,
like
right.
A sound nugget as translated through someone who didn't know who Tosh was and thought he was, like, closing for Dane Cook.
Yeah, and so Daniel Tosh isn't given the benefit of the other, you know, 10 years he's done comedy. He's done 100,000 jokes. And whether you think he's funny or not, you probably weren't offended by 97.8% of them. But this one, you're saying, you know what, that's too far, and this guy's the worst. But if you met him, you'd be fine with him. Like, actually, Daniel Tosh in real life heckled me. I went to a Giggles, saw him, And he goes, thanks for coming out to Giggles tonight. I'm so excited I sold out Giggles. And there was like maybe 20 people there. This was like 8 years ago.
Is Giggles your living room?
My wife leans over and she goes, it's not sold out. And he goes, thank you, Captain Obvious. And he was absolutely right. It was dumb of her to say, and she like, you know, was just kind of like laughing along or whatever. But like there were 20 people there and it was sad, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I don't think Daniel Tosh is a jerk because of that. I think he's funny and he's a comedian. And honestly, if you get heckled, I'm all for people crushing hecklers.
Oh, agreed. Because
hecklers are not the show. Like, no. They pay to see the person, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, well, the problem with hecklers is that they ruin it for the paying customers. It's not they ruin it for the comedian. The comedian's there, and they're probably well-equipped to deal with it. It's that I don't fucking – if I pay for a comedy show, I'm not interested in you and your fucking – your asshole frat bros – talking back to the comedian. Like you are taking away my $2.
Hecklers are a lot better than tag interjectors.
What are like just random non sequitur guys?
Like if
that's what she said.
Yeah, if someone's shitting on you, that's one thing, because you can respond and then it's okay to be mean to that person. But the worst is like people will go and they'll add unfunny taglines to whatever joke you just told.
And they just kill it.
Yeah, or like you'll be in the middle. You won't even be to the punchline. It'll just be like you're in the middle of a story, and they like add some stupid ass punchline to where it shouldn't be.
But honestly, underneath all this, you know what's dumb? Stand-up comedy. It's dumb. It's a dumb fucking bear on a tricycle.
But it's one of the
outdated. But Ben, you want to get in on this one?
Letting me back in?
Yeah. You're in. I bet you. Let's talk about fax machines.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about fax machines, you got to talk about copiers. And I think funny stand-up comedy is some of the funniest things that our planet produces.
Really?
I really, really do. Yeah.
I have a hard time getting myself to watch a special when I readily
watch.
Okay,
so here's the problem:
movie.
Most of it's not funny, and
it's like pizza in New York. It's like. There's some really good – everybody like, oh, man, pizza in New York's fucking great. The problem is like to find a decent slice is you have to eat like 80 really fucking shitty ones.
Yeah, I'm not saying every comedian's funny, but the first time I saw, for example, some of Chappelle's stand-up stuff, I like shit myself laughing.
But monologues?
What?
Aren't we past monologues at this point?
As
where you have
to
a routine?
What? Like what in terms like what?
I think Chappelle's probably onto something where it's riffing more than it is set routine.
How is that different than stand up though?
It's all
it's spontaneous. There's no reading a set prepared and tested.
No. Any funny stand up is going to be prepared whether it feels like it or not.
Yeah, no. I'm okay with that, but I want it to be more like jazz music and less like fucking concert opera.
Yeah, but jazz music is going to be bad half the time.
Agreed.
So I've seen Chappelle many times. I think like he's probably my favorite comedian, and his like 3 hour shows are too long. And I, as much as I love him, like I paid my $50, and I don't want him to stop. But at the same time, I'd rather him have a little more of a concise.
I don't ever want to watch stand up for more than an hour.
Like 90 minutes maxed out. He talks to the crowd for a while, you know, for the last 20, and I'm good to go. I don't need like 2.5 hours. I enjoy him, but like I've seen him multiple times. The way he does comedy feels like he's just showed up, and that's why he's so genius. Is he just feels like I'm just fucking talking here. I'm just riffing, but he does the same things multiple times.
But he riffs in terms of like I'm just riffing here until someone reminds me of a bit that I already have.
I'm not arguing that there should be prep work involved, right?
Yeah.
I feel like you're arguing
against the format, and I disagree. What is replacing that format though?
I think stand-up comedy can be some of the most entertaining and funny entertainment that we have as a society. I really do.
All right,
yeah.
Back that up. I'm interested. I'm not sure I'm on
well,
firm ground here. It seems quaintly antiquated to me, but I'm not sure I can back it.
Well, it's few and far between. So Vince does the old school stuff, which unfortunately is sort of shitty. And I don't mean your comedies in particular, but going to open mics and stuff, you're not going to see a lot of really funny people. You're just not.
Yeah, it's an impossible format to some degree. Yeah.
And even I've gone to local San Francisco comedy clubs, and it was okay, but it wasn't that good. I went to the Comedy Cellar in New York where Louis C.K. films his TV show, and he was there. Like we went to watch him film the opening of his show, and he was there with some other really good comics, and it was amazing. It was everyone was really, really funny, except for Doug Stanhope, who seemed drunk.
Really? Oh, yeah, he does get drunk sometimes.
He seemed drunk and or uninterested.
Yeah.
And so he was not funny at all. But I don't remember the other names. You know, they were other people trying to make it in the comedy world. But they were all really funny. Really funny people. And I was – the amount that I laugh during good stand-up is more than I laugh watching almost anything else.
That's not really a justification of the format, though. That's just saying you like it.
Okay. So I like it. I mean, I know I'm a stupid motorcycling Jew, and there's not very many of us. But
I mean, you wouldn't go see a one-man play, would you? You'd make fun of that.
Okay, but what's –
it's a monologue. You're talking to a large live audience without response.
But you're comparing –
So what is the format that's replacing
I think you break
that?
It down. I think comedy is an album or a concept album from the 70s, right? You break it down on a per joke thing.
Okay.
I'm not saying what does that mean, though?
I don't know where you're going, buddy. I'm lost. You lost me.
It's clear the time is a waterfall.
I don't know. I feel like comedy is ready.
It's a very flawed format.
Comedy is ready for something that is what turntables did in the 80s to music, right?
Were you breaking it into Linkin Park?
Yeah, it did.
You
break it into smaller pieces and you allow it to be arranged in order you prefer it.
That would be great, but that's like something you can only do after the fact. It's not like you can do – it's very hard to do that live on stage.
Yeah. I don't know if live on – what's the appeal of live on stage versus watching it on YouTube?
Well, it's just like anything.
What's funnier when you're there?
What's the appeal of seeing anything live?
Bigger screens.
Brad. So why did I get yelled at for saying that those chicks didn't seem fun?
Because it's just funny that you're like – it seems like you're implying that they're not fun because they're not into getting raped.
Oh, no.
It seems a lot like that.
Oh, my implication.
And you pick up on that this whole time?
Really? Because you kept hammering it
home. I knew where you were going, but I was like,
oh, my,
at it
my point was they don't like to laugh.
It's just like they're a bunch of tight prudes.
No, it was more like they hate to laugh. They seem like chicks that hate to laugh. Oh, my God. My friend thought that was funny. Nothing was funny.
I don't get jokes. This one was especially.
My friend
not
made
good.
Me watch Billy Madison. It was so dumb.
Yeah, the problem was every time you said it, hanging in the balance there was the rape thing. Yeah. So you kept going. They're not fun. They're not fun to hang around with. They're not.
But then you change your voice and it gets dangerous. Right?
But what is that? I think sexual assault, rape type stuff is a very serious thing. I think anyone that has gone through that has got – it probably would be hard for them to ever laugh about it. And I was not trying to imply that. We were brainstorming, and after watching Sex and the City for the 12th time, we said we want to laugh even harder than that.
I do think though, like again, as Vince pointed out, like you would hope one day you could laugh about terrible experiences because otherwise the – goal is you're just going to be miserable. Like that's just going to be your life. Like you're never coming back from anything bad that happens to you.
Well, that's true.
Well, there's times people joke about things that I do and that I am that I can still laugh at because I know they're not talking specifically about me. They're talking about
part,
a thing.
Part of my problem too is that I don't really get offended by anything.
Yeah.
I just don't. And I mean, if you're just gonna be an asshole to me for a long time about personal stuff, like, I'll just avoid you. But if it's like, hey, Jews are dumb and they steal all the gold, it's like, okay, well, it's true. Whatever, bro.
Yeah.
I just don't really get offended by that stuff. I mean, it doesn't. I just don't. And so people that do, I just don't really.
It seems like if you're the type of person who generally takes offense, you're also not also a really happy person. Like, if you're looking for a reason to take umbrage, you're not kind of also like just living that dream, right?
I feel like we're only filled with white first world problems, and I feel like a lot of people enjoy or don't know what else to do, but they either enjoy getting offended or they don't know what else they don't know how to react to a lot of things, so their first reaction is, I think I should feel offended by this.
And like this I, is, I definitely have rage blackouts, but they're usually based on my own actions. Like, I mess something up and I'm really angry at myself, and that's why I need to hit myself.
Sure. I'm not saying...
get excited when I discover something that does offend me, because it happens so rarely, and I, like, search for that feeling to where...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the hate lust.
I discovered one thing that does offend me.
What?
Competitive eating.
Ooh,
yeah.
The fucking
yeah.
hot dog eating contest.
Ooh.
Like, it does, it offends me at a deep level.
It's gross.
Yeah. It's gross because, no, so one, it's fucking revolting. Two, fucking disgusting. Like, all right, if you wanted to make it a contest between me and Brett, like who could stick the most grapes in our mouth, like we did in grade school. All right, that's kind of cool.
I bet my friend in high school $5 he couldn't fit two packs of Starburst in his mouth at once.
He died.
Well, he didn't die. He did fit two packs in, which was amazing.
Yeah.
That's a good bet. Anyone out there, you want to bet your friend a couple bucks? First of all, it's possible. You can't swallow them. You can't swallow them, so you got to fit them all. So he's yeah. like double chipmunk cheeks with just a big gigantic glob of Starburst. And it was amazing, and he did it, but he didn't swallow them all. That would be disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know, like, you know, I'm not a vegan or anything, but I do feel like a very basic, like almost reptilian part of your brain. Like if you're a Kalahari Bushman and when the Kalahari Bushmen shoot a goat with a fucking dart or something, they say a prayer over it and they're like, Thanks for like dying.
Thanks for dying so
thanks
we could
for,
eat you.
Thanks for dying so I could feed my family. And then when a bunch of fucking fat, disgusting pieces of shit go on stage and like just eat, just stuff their face with all these dead animals and everybody's fucking cheering them on and they got like one guy's dipping his fucking buns in Kool-Aid. Ah, it's like the most disgusting.
Well,
thing.
You also you only watch two things on TV. You watch MMA and you watch cooking shows. And so you appreciate the food that is being made. And so when it's just a massive amount of food.
But it's still a frivolous thing. I realize like.
But there's a little bit of you enjoy the whole aspect of making a big, big meal.
It's like competitive wildfire.
Yeah, but it doesn't offend me like culinarily. No, it offends me like the fact that it offends me as being wasteful. That's
well,
what it is.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more often than not a vegetarian for that reason, where it's like, man, I love the taste of animal flesh. But at the same time, probably don't want to be doing that every day. You kind of should make it a special event.
Yeah, at least respect what you're doing. Like, at least recognize what you're doing.
Have some love for the craft.
Or just know how the fucking sausage is made. You know, I feel like... I can't stand people that will eat meat at every meal, but then will act grossed out if they have to like gut a fish or something.
It's
like,
that's the worst.
Or like, you know, if you believe in the death penalty and you're like, oh, well, you know, firing squad, that's too brutal or something like that.
I don't want to watch it aspect.
Yeah. Like if you believe in it, then you should have to fucking, you should know how it's done and what actually happens.
If not be able to occasionally pull the trigger if called upon. It's like people who duck jury duty, but then complain about how their taxes are too high. It's like, fuck you. That's part of the doing the thing.
Yeah. I duck jury duty, but I just don't complain about taxes. So am I okay?
Nah, you're okay. I don't care.
I think jury duty is fucking terrible.
I tried to do jury duty. Jury duty. They asked the question, which I thought was like a fairly like a softball sort of question. I can't remember if this is here.
Do you masturbate in court?
And they're like, and the prosecutor was like, so do you guys like read by a show of hands? Do you have any reason to believe that the government is lying to you at any given time, or some like ridiculously broad question? Like, do you think the government has ever been not 100% truthful with you
at any point
at any point in your life or your parents?
Would you?
And I like raise my hand and I look around and no one else is raising their hand and I'm like, holy shit! Did I just turn into a communist here?
Take him away.
And then, and then when they were picking the people, like the first person they asked to be dismissed was me.
Oh, dude, you got me onto a jury once.
Me?
You personally.
How?
So it was an assault charge. Well, I didn't know this at the time.
So I beat the guy whose ass I beat? No.
they don't tell you what you're in for. And so they're like, has anyone here ever broken a limb in a fight? And I raise my hand and they go, what happened? I was like, it wasn't really a fight and I broke my nose.
And they said, scarf.
They said, what happened? And I was like, well, so... And I didn't know how to explain it, right?
Yeah.
Because what actually happened was our other friend had chiefed Vince while he was passed out on a couch. And Vince woke up and he ducked behind the couch. And Vince grabbed me by my lapels as I was talking to a girl and kneed me in the face so hard my nose collapsed.
On accident, to be fair.
And started spraying blood.
Yeah, totally, Vince. You love kneeing people.
No, I threw him in front of the couch and my knee slipped off the couch and onto his nose. It's not like I just grabbed him and kneed him like fucking Double Dragon.
I heard it crumple.
Double Dragon.
It did like a triple pop. It was like...
I watched it, too. Yeah. I watched it crunch and then like the little...
It broke the very top of the bridge.
Where the blood leaks out right by the bridge of your nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vince is such a good friend.
Yeah.
Well, he just loves cooking shows and loves MMA.
So I told the judge it was over a girl because it was the most manly thing I could think of other than my friend and I got drunk and he broke my nose.
Yeah.
And then, you on a jury?
So it turns out they're hoping to find someone who didn't have a big deal affair about getting their bones broken. So they're like, oh, it wasn't a big deal to this guy.
What kind of fucking jury is this?
It was an assault charge.
Oh.
So you perjured yourself, pretty much.
Yeah, no.
It was just a flesh wound.
Yeah. some derelict shoulder-checked a woman into a store and then kept walking. That was the jury.
Interesting.
And everyone agreed.
Did you vote to convict?
Everyone agreed it was assault.
Uh-huh.
I and another dude, so it turns out they were totally right. I and another dude mistrialed it because we didn't think it was assault with intent to cause grave bodily injury, which is a felony charge and can, if it's your third strike, lead you straight to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Yeah, that's not a life in jail sort of.
I mean, he did knock her down, but then they showed the injury and she had a scuffed knee.
Yeah, she's probably a prude.
That was Vince, everybody. That was Vince.
Ben doesn't think she was fun at all.
I have no opinion of the woman that got knocked down.
So, Laramie, I did not get to see any movies this week. Did you?
I don't think I did. No, it's kind of a weird... Like, Ice Age was the only thing out, and I sure as hell wasn't seeing that on a Saturday morning.
Is Ice Age super racist now, or did I just see a really bad trailer for it? Because they were all black characters saying black things, but, you know, cartoon elephants or whatever. It was really uncomfortable for me.
That's Brett, everybody. That's not Ben.
They were in Squirrel Face.
Hey, I think that's very offensive to. I just think there's certain things in the world you can't joke about. You know what I mean?
So, what to you, Fake Brett? What can't you? What are the things you don't want to joke about?
Well, a lot of people, you know, a lot of trees gave their lives for the paper that I draw the squirrels on. You know what I mean? And to not respect that, I feel is very wrong.
Do you do any sort of prayers before you do a drawing?
Oh yeah, sure. You know, I pray every day that the good Lord provides us more squirrels to draw, and because without the Lord, there would not be squirrels to draw. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. What is the best paper to draw squirrels on?
Oh, the best paper. Well, you know, some people like cotton. You know, a little cotton paper like to print the money on, but I prefer. You know, a tree is good enough for the squirrel to sit on, and he, you know, and I feel like the tree is good enough for me to draw the squirrel on. You know what I mean?
I like that. Have you gotten more into the digital age, or do you draw anything on a computer?
Oh yeah, sure. You know, I prefer to transfer my drawings from the paper to the computer with the scanner. You know, I feel like it preserves. Because it needs to be on paper, you know what I mean?
So it has to be initially on paper.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Do you have any, like, what do you feel about, like, taxidermy? Have you ever, like, gotten a squirrel that you really like?
Oh, I think that's wrong. I think it's very wrong. You try to draw a dead squirrel, it's just, it's not going to look.
Because they don't have any soul.
You know, I try to capture, you know, Thomas Kincaid was a painter of light. And I feel like you try and find the light in the squirrel's eyes from the spark of life.
Yeah, I totally.
Hurry.
Larry's got a pretty good fake Brett.
Hurry. You guys, I like squirrels.
No, and only one impression per frot.
No way.
No, let him go.
Proceed, Larry. Proceed. Proceed, Larry.
Now, this offends him on a deep level. Yeah,
it does. Now he's offended. He's going to write a Tumblr post.
I'm eating so many hot dogs right now, you don't even know.
He's eating hot dogs and doing fake Brett impressions until he goes to sleep.
Hey, I just love hot dogs so much, man.
That's really good. I'm not... I'm not trying to offend you, but that's really good.
Oh, that's offensive. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm offended by that.
Well, clearly that's all I can do these days.
I didn't mean to break up your actual impression, so please continue.
No, he's done.
Once he starts laughing, he doesn't know what else to say.
Oh, so when we were in Mexico, we were sitting at the bar. I think the highlight of the trip was there was a gecko on the wall, and there was like a moth flying around, and the gecko was clearly stalking this moth, and it was like a bar full of dudes just, you know, out by the sort of the hotel bar where it's all super hot and humid. And at some point, we like started taking bets on the moth or the gecko. So every time the moth would get close to the gecko, there'd be like...
Geckos are sweet.
We were cheering at it like it was a soccer game. It was pretty sweet.
That's Mexico. That's a Mexican
chair. And that's Mexican Comcast.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say. One of the only English channels I had was Headline News. Holy shit.
That's a bad channel.
Oh, it is the worst.
Yeah, because after 30 minutes, you've seen it for the next 24 hours.
Yeah. Laramie, shut up, because news is important. You know, news tells us how to think. It tells us what happened, and it tells us what's real.
There were these white guys, and they just talked to you all the time about what was important, and you listened.
They were heroes because they told you how to think right.
It told you what happened.
You know how we're talking about people on the internet who just, you know, they take that opportunity to like, oh, I got to make this... blanket post about whatever happened in the news today.
Don't offend Laramie and Bernsey. They did a good job this week.
We tried our best.
People, that's where they go. They go to Headline News.
HLN.
They just, like, Dr. Drew has a fairly interesting show where, you know, he talks about stuff. But then he has these people on, and it's the worst people in the world.
Yeah, it's too bad.
They'll be like, here's the guy who writes the blog called Bad Boys Finish First, and he's going to say some stupid shit.
I like Dr. Drew a lot, but he's gone into the sensational. He's almost like a smart Jerry Springer now.
Well, also, the big pharma thing is deeply disturbing.
The pharma? What's the pharma thing?
Oh, apparently he was paid to shill for
he's on the dole.
Depression medication outside of its regular uses. Other depression pills give you a limp dick. Here's a list of anti-depression pills that don't give you – it's just one. By the way,
Vince, I tried to troll for you today. I did a Comic-Con post. No one was buying it.
I saw that. It looked good.
Wait, so Comic-Con's right now?
You used the F word in that. Thanks for that.
So, Vince, no Comic-Con for you?
No.
Skip.
I don't think I did use the F word.
Fart is, well, Vince's F word.
You need me to pull it up.
Oh, you mean Frogcast?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I did use that.
Now, I was in Mexico, so I'm not doing Comic-Con this year, unfortunately. Oh, also, I met a really interesting guy in... Sayulita.
What was his name?
His name was Efrain. I kind of am thinking of having him as a future Frogcast guest because...
Did he have gentle hands?
Unless he was like the best bullshitter ever, he had a crazy story. Like, I met him in this little beach town like north of Puerto Vallarta where he's like working as a waiter at a restaurant. He's like 20 years old. Said he grew up basically like his entire life in Texas and like had a house and everything. Like, he had bought a house and shit and... Quit school at 14, like, got into the roofing business, and...
I know the roofing business.
He was estranged from both of his parents, and so he started working pretty early, and, you know, he's a roofer. And he turned 18. He knew his whole life he was illegal. He turned 18, and he got pulled over or something when he was, like, 19, and got deported, like, from Louisiana. But, like, he doesn't have any family. He never had any family in Mexico. All his family was in the U.S.
So he just wasn't a citizen.
He wasn't a citizen. They came over when he was, I don't know, like earlier than five or something like that. And so he'd been living here like basically his whole life, had a house, had a car, had a kid. And they deported him. And when they deported him, they basically just like dropped him off in Juarez. It didn't fucking know anybody. So can you imagine?
Now Juarez, that's the really nice place, right?
Can you imagine?
It's full of timeshares.
Yeah. Can you imagine if we were just chilling and then like someone someone came and they just like, oh yeah, Detroit, that's part of your country. We're just going to drop you off in the fucking middle of downtown.
Also, we're not
Detroit.
Bringing your stuff, so you're going to have to, you know, probably suck a dick or two for cab fare. Try not to get murdered. High five.
It sounds like they're running their own kind of Running Man Hunger Games down there.
Yeah, and he had his little brother with him and some other kids that had also just gotten deported with him. And
rapscallions.
And he was trying, like, they didn't really know where to, you know, he's just in Juarez, not really knowing where to go, and he was trying to get to the bus station, and apparently some guys saw all these like younger kids following him and like decided that he was a coyote, and they're like, we're gonna fucking kill you because this is our area to be coyotes in.
My friend Carlos in high school, his parents, you know, he was born here, his parents were full citizens, but he basically ran out of money in college and had to go live with his uncle in Tijuana. Uh-huh. And I mean, he speaks Spanish, but he was like, dude, I got beat up for a fucking week as a 20-year-old because I spoke too white with my accent, right? I can only imagine rolling down there and not knowing any fucking Spanish.
No, he knew Spanish and stuff, but it was like, I mean, he didn't have any I mean, they just dropped him off in Juarez, and they're like, yeah, fucking figure out something to do.
God, like, this wasn't high school. It was college, right? He's a full-grown fucking man,
yeah.
And people are just fucking stopping him in the street to fight him.
Yeah.
That'd I'd be really mad about that.
I'd get offended, even. Now, that would be insane.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy story. But, I mean, somehow he ended up in this pretty nice, like...
timeshare?
Beach town? No, wasn't it? It was actually, out, you know, it was outside. It was like a really tiny beach town outside of Puerto Vallarta. Nice place, though. Good tacos. Actually, his restaurant served me fish tacos, and it wasn't fried fish, and I was, like, kind of bummed about it.
Oh. Because when you go to Mexico, it's one of the few times you actually want it to be fried, just because...
No, I always want it to be fried. Oh. Like, when people serve me... I feel like when they do grilled fish tacos, that's, like, what they do to make it nice for white people, because white people are like, I don't want to eat fried food, so we grilled some nice mahi-mahi for you, and then it just doesn't taste like anything. It tastes like fucking cardboard.
So you're offended by that?
Yeah, I'm offended. Not offended, but I just don't like it.
So you're offended by grilled fish?
Also, when I was in Austin, I went to a breakfast place, and it said hash browns on the menu, and then when I ordered it...
Home fries.
Fucking home fries
came. Fries.
And home fries are terrible.
You should write a Tumblr post about this. So, Laramie, here's the thing. Vince is offended by home fries instead of hash browns.
Dude, he's super offended by sourdough bread.
I don't like sourdough.
What?
I'm not offended by it.
You're pretty offended by it.
I'm not offended by
it.
It's not home fries level.
You have stated to me on multiple occasions that anyone who likes sourdough bread is a retard for not enjoying French instead, and that you wish it didn't exist.
I don't think they're retards. I think they're ignorant. They're ignorant of sweet French bread.
Everyone has had sweet French bread. Some people choose sourdough.
Sourdough is never better than French bread in any situation.
I am offended. False. I'm offended by you saying
that. The only thing that's good about sourdough is that you can make a bread bowl out of it. That is literally the only thing that's good about it.
Sliced sourdough is amazing.
Better than sliced French bread? No.
Yeah, sometimes.
Never. No, no, never.
You dip it in cheese.
It's not that it's... The problem is that it's not bad. It's like, it's kind of good. It's just not as good as the alternative. That's the that's the problem with it.
Better as sandwich.
I'm offended.
No, it's not.
Vince,
what?
Stop. I'm going to write a Tumblr, but I'm offended. Laramie, you feel offended?
There's so many good French, like a torta roll, which is like just regular non-sour.
I know what a fucking torta roll is.
I eat sourdough French bread sandwiches all the time, and they're quite good. You just combine them.
You don't know what you're saying, bro.
You're fucking crazy.
You just offended him so bad.
It's just the top part's sourdough and the bottom part's French bread?
Yeah, how do you do that?
That's the anger talking. No, I put sourdough.
I don't want to hear about your mulatto sandwiches.
And then I put French bread on top of it, and then I roll them together. And you can't really tell the difference. It's basically the same bread.
Wow, that offends all of us.
Yeah.
No, I don't do any of that. I would never do that. That's ridiculous.
That's stupid, you guys.
I would never do that. Don't even worry about it.
Seattle's all whole grain and shit.
I realize all my offenses involve food.
Ben stabbed a lady in the hand with a fork one time because she ate one of his fries.
It was in the arm, and it was a hot dog.
It was in the hand.
It was an arm.
How would you get to her arm if she's reaching across the table to take
the French
fry?
She had the hot dog in her hand, I stabbed her in the arm with the fork.
I'm going to go use the restroom. I'll be right back.
I broke the fork.
Wait, guy. Wait.
What?
That was another thing. She didn't respect my sausage. If she wanted to eat it, I probably wouldn't have stabbed her. But she just grabbed it to wave it around, like, just
dude. That's my boner.
Sausage.
And if she was going to eat my sausage, she should have presented it better. I mean, if she's just going to wave she's just going to wave it around. All right,
this is falling apart. Who wants to end it?
No, we got to wait for Laramie to get back at least.
He's not really peeing. He just does. He's tired of listening to us.
Well, so
Laramie.
So are the listeners.
Laramie.
No, they always listen to the...
Laramie.
You want another email? There's a couple short ones. that I liked. All right, so John writes, Frauders, I just finished the spoilery Prometheus broadcast, and I can't believe that no one mentioned the fact that Noomi Rapace starts running around 5 seconds after having her abdomen cut open and then stapled back together as one of the more absurd moments in the movie. I actually laughed out loud when it happened. And then he put a YOLO picture, but it's a picture. So
yeah, that's one of those things where like I want to call bullshit, but you know, I have no personal experience.
In the future. I haven't lived in the future yet.
I haven't lived in the future. Maybe the C-section machine in the future stitches you up all nice.
Hello?
You
don't... Is that Laramie?
Who it is?
Laramie, we got another email.
Oh, okay, good. Can I hear it?
Yes, you can.
Christ, we're going to read it.
Or is it on mute?
It's a new one.
It's a new one.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Frauders.
Hey.
Your discussion of Spider-Man in Frogcast 107 reminded me of something that happened to me when I saw Spider-Man 3.
Ugh.
That's what he said, actually. That's Laramie actually could read that. In the scene where Peter hits Mary Jane, the theater went quiet, and some guy said, "She had it coming," which made the entire theater burst out laughing. Easily better than anything about the film. Fraud on, Emmett.
That's funny. Did I see Spider-Man 3 with you?
I haven't seen Spider-Man 3. You saw Spider-Man 2 with me, and we giggled when the chainsaw came out.
Okay, I saw Spider-Man 3 in the theater, and almost the exact same thing happened to me, where Peter hit Mary Jane, and then some black dude in the way back, it was got super quiet, and some black dude in the way back is like, "Aw, shit." And then, yeah, and it was just thunderous laughter after that.
Aw, shit, it's always
so
funny.
Therefore, I think Spider-Man 3 is actually better than The Amazing Spider-Man, because at least it gave the opportunity for that to have that moment.
It's true.
Laramie, discuss.
It's never funny. It's never funny. I think you should have hit Aunt May. Every time I see Aunt May, I want to punch her. She's so annoying.
Fucking
she has
bitch,
nothing to,
shut up!
She adds nothing to the story. She's always just complaining about stuff.
Did you see Amazing Spider-Man? It's the remake of the remake of the remake?
I saw a movie about giant lizards. That's all I saw.
Well, so what Vince told me, which was really shocking, is that the world is going to turn into lizards. Is that true?
I felt like the villain had a point because he just wanted to turn people into lizards, which actually is pretty inclusive as a villain. You know, most villains want to steal stuff or they want to kill people for their own personal gain. He wanted everyone to be lizards just like him.
Okay. Why is that a goal that a supervillain would have?
Guy just liked being a lizard.
He's just so like, hey, you guys should check this out.
Yeah, he's like, you're not going to believe how solid it is to be a lizard.
You guys, yes, seriously. Seriously.
Look, I sent you an email, but you didn't respond. I'm just going to go ahead and make you a lizard.
I'm not going to lie. I'm having trouble texting because my fingers are really big.
You were going to love it.
He's like, if you think cooling your body is awesome, try not cooling your body.
Yeah. You drop down to zero.
So what are the advantages of being a lizard as according to The Amazing Spider-Man?
They seem to be super strength.
Are they really big?
Oh, he was a giant lizard. He was like mini Godzilla.
So you gain about 4,000% in size.
Yeah, but you still wear the lab coat you had on as...
Is that true?
That actually happened.
You have to be a scientist, as a lizard.
So the lab coat gain in size as well, or is it a tiny, mini little lab coat?
It was a lab coat that had been shredded by his mask, but still was hanging on for dear life.
So I like that the lab coat all of a sudden turns into about 8 trillion percent more fabric, but it's shredded somehow.
Look, the lab coat was a metaphor for getting offended by jokes.
Lizard jokes. I'm actually offended by lizard jokes.
Yeah.
Vince is, I think Vince is sending emails right now.
No, I'm fucking offended by lizard jokes very much so.
So that's it. So Spider-Man
I'm
is.
Drink some more whiskey.
Yeah.
I can't talk anymore.
Whiskey. Yeah. Look. It's when you drink it out of the tumbler. That's what ends the podcast.
It's the damn tumbler that makes me so drunk.
Next time I come there, I'm bringing like a 20-liter bottle of whiskey, and because we're gonna beat this thing, you and me, Vince. You're gonna stop drinking at some point during this podcast. You're gonna put it away and push it away from
me. So just to remind everyone, so
Laramie, make him smoke the whole pack.
Laramie graced us with his presence, and he was kind enough to bring all of us some booze, and he said, "Here, who wants some very nice whiskey?" And Vince said, "I do," and then he finished it all. And then he was really drunk, and it was really fun, except for him.
And then he tried to read stuff, and he couldn't. It was all out of order.
These words keep moving.
People like me when I have more drinks.
Yeah, that was that night, I think.
But it was probably my fault for bringing, whatever, a half a fifth or whatever I brought. So next time, I'll just bring a pint.
So here's the problem. Vince likes whiskey or bourbon, and when you bring him good stuff, He's going to really like it.
I'm a little worried he's not talking right now.
I didn't know I was going to like it. I didn't know it was going to go down so easily. So, you know.
So, Lerman, that's the problem.
It screwed up my whole...
When it's so smooth, he's just going to keep going.
I see.
And when the bottle's right in front of him, he's really going to keep going. Wait, hold on, Lerman. He's got something to say.
That's really nice. It's really nice. I can smell it from here.
It's all over his microphone.
It smells like art.
It smells like blogging.
Oh man, this has gone downhill. Let's put this out of its misery.
All right, well,
let's take this to the behind the bar and rape it. I mean, shoot it.
And that wasn't me. That was Vince. That was not Ben.
I think I'm the only one who came out of this unscathed.
I was doing a good job. I think people confuse Ben for me.
Yeah, that was all Brett.
And they hate Ben and they stick my name on it.
Anyone that hated what I said, that was definitely Brett.
I will say being able to tell a difference now between you guys makes me feel like a Jedi, because before it was just impossible.
So see, people like me.
That's not what nice. That is not what he said at all. He said he could tell the difference between us.
Vince, you also asked me. I don't know if I'm talking to his butt or Vince at this point.
Doesn't matter.
We're always talking to his butt.
He asked if I could write an article or whatever while he was gone. Does that mean for tomorrow too, or are you working tomorrow there, Vince?
I think I got it covered tomorrow.
Let him write it. Come on.
You do it.
He's probably already got it written. He's good at it.
What do you want to write, Laramie?
Yeah.
It's an article called Rape, the Other Side.
Is there a comma or not? Because that changes the whole dynamic of the conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
It's going to be kind of a question piece. Aren't there two
When you rape the other of- side, it's not called rape. It's just assault at that point.
End it. Oh, there's only more grave to dig.
Hey, I'm sorry. All right. Hey, everybody, go to frogcast@gmail.com. I didn't get a lot of emails about the online dating.
We got one.
Rejected.
Yeah.
Rejected OkCupid.
There was
emails.
One that said, your first picture looks like you're a model. The second one, not so much. And that was good.
I love that guy for the emailing of the people with no feet or whatever, and emailing him. He didn't like their shoes. That was awesome.
Yeah. So if you got any more, I haven't quite gotten enough of those emails to make a theme out of it. But if you have some OkCupid rejected emails, send those in. Frogcast@gmail.com.
And I got a Kickstarter project. Check that out. Automatic.
With a K.
Yeah.
415-275-0030. Check out.
Don't forget about Laramie
and at Laramie on Twitter.
Woohoo!
Anything else?
I think we're good. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good night and good shins.